historically, the United States has been very supportive of Israel, even when it became a nation. Harry Truman, the president back in 1948, said yes, let's say yes to Israel. Recently, Israel has made a bad choice when it comes to morality. And we'll tell you about that in just a moment. The Bible tells us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And today we might add, pray for the purity of Jerusalem. Recently, the Christian Post reported about a large LGBTQ plus pride festival in June at the Dead Sea, at around the traditional location of Sodom and Gomorrah. While Christians generally are very supportive of Israel, many would say, well, this is not supportable. Dr. Alex McFarland is a Christian youth specialist. He's the author of more than 20 books, which provide a Christian worldview on today's topics. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. McFarland, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Newcomb. I have such respect for you and the great work you do. I've benefited from your scholarship for many years, and so it was a privilege to speak with you.
Well, this is a very heart-wrenching topic because, first of all, Israel needs all the friends it can get, number one. Number two, historically, I mean, you look at, for example, George Washington wrote letters to synagogues in America saying, you know, here in America, you have a place of refuge. Here, every man can rest under his own vine and fig tree. But we fast forward to this summer and we see it's almost as if some of these Jewish organizers of this big pride fest around Sodom and Gomorrah, where God destroyed those cities, that you can read for that yourself in Genesis 19. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, well, let me say this. Thank you for covering this topic because, you know, as an American and as a Christian American, you know, I absolutely am a supporter of Israel. And I want people to be able to distinguish between support for Israel's right to exist, their right to self-government, absolutely Israel's right to self-defense. But this doesn't necessarily mean that we agree with each and every political decision any particular cabinet or Knesset makes or any cultural thing going on there. I know that Dr. Newcomb, my late friend Charlie Kirk, he and I had some very spirited discussions about this. And Charlie Kirk said, Alex, how could you possibly support Israel? They're a huge producer of pornography. And a very much, you know, LGBTQ pride initiatives. And of course, the 4-day Pride Festival in 2026, which is, you know, like the Pride Land Festival at the traditional site of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, what could be a more brazen, flagrant defiance of God that in June of 26, they had this festival? But here's the thing. While, of course, as a Christian, I disagree with the homosexual lifestyle. I disagree with pornography. I disagree with sins that could go on in any nation. But at the same time, I can, you know, philosophically and spiritually disagree with sinful programs and initiatives, but I can at the same time support the right of Israel to their ancestral homeland. I can support their right to exist. And, you know, when Israel is being attacked by Islamic nations, which happens on a very regular basis, they do not have to go to the UN and ask permission to defend themselves.
I guess, you know, there's a, by the way, in that Christian Post article about this whole subject, one man, Father Michael Lilly, a priest at Nativity of Christ Orthodox Church in Youngstown, Ohio, said, why here? They are mocking God. In other words, why have a pride festival at the very place where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah thousands and thousands of years ago?
Well, in Jerusalem Post, there was an article that one of the organizers said, quote, this is not just a pride event. It aims to highlight the Dead Sea region as a permanent destination for LGBTQ tourists. Now, I want to say this. You know, there was a very famous atheist in the 19th century named Robert Ingersoll. And one time in a debate, Robert Ingersoll dared God to strike him dead. The God he didn't believe in, he just brazenly, he blasphemed God, and he dared God to strike him dead. And it didn't happen at that moment, although Ingersoll later died. And so he said, see, you know, God, I dared God to kill me, and he didn't do it. And the Christian with whom he was debating said, well, the patience and the grace and the mercy of the Almighty is longer than just 3 to 5 minutes. Now, here's my point. The idea for the LGBTQ activists in Israel to, quote, make the Dead Sea and Sodom and Gomorrah a permanent destination for LGBT tourists, as if, you know, they could go to ground zero of God's judgment on homosexuality and emerge unscathed. That might embolden them or somehow make them feel justified in their current cause. But I would humbly remind them that God's spirit will not strive with man forever. And while the pleasures of sin are but for a moment, there comes a day when the Almighty says enough. The Bible warns us, Dr. Newcomb, in the book of Romans about people being given up to a reprobate mind. And that's why when we feel conviction over sin, the time to repent and turn to the Lord is the moment you feel conviction, because we have no guarantee that the merciful Holy Spirit that comes knocking will call us again tomorrow. And so, it might feel brazen. It might feel exhilarating. Go to the very site of Sodom and Gomorrah and wave your sin in the face of God Almighty. Be careful, because there comes a day of accountability and judgment, and I believe that day is coming soon.
In reference to the story you just told about Robert Ingersoll daring God to strike him down with lightning, there's a story, and this is based on the writings of William J. Murray, the son of Madeline Murray O'Hare. He was, at one point, you know, the son of the most famous atheist in America. She was one of those who brought a lawsuit against school prayer and so forth, in his name, by the way. Then later he became a born-again Christian, and now he's still working for Jesus Christ. Thank God.
Yeah.
But here's a story. One time during a thunderstorm, when her dad was still alive, she was so anti-God and so forth, she bolted outside during that thunderstorm, and she demanded, you know, if there is a God, strike me dead. And she came back in all, you know, haughty and boastful and saying, you know, see, there is no God. I just proved it. He didn't strike me dead. And one of the interesting things, aspects of that true story, is that inside of her, in her womb, was, in utero, was William J. Murray, future servant of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Do you know, Dr. Newcomb, in our youth events, Truth for a New Generation, Apologetics, twice we booked Madeline Murray O'Hare's son, Robert Murray, to come and preach the gospel.
You mean William J. Murray? Amazing.
William J. Murray.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's right. This has been 20 years ago. Yes. And we brought him to North Carolina to share the gospel. And I'm old enough, I remember when I was a little kid that Madeline Murray O'Hare would be on Donahue and the shows. And she just was as emphatically blasphemous as she could possibly be. And yet, as you said, her son became a preacher of the gospel. And do you know, let me just say this. Having done a master's in developmental psychology at Liberty University, same-sex attraction. And then for those that not only engage in the gay lifestyle, but maybe even become activists for that cause, first of all, acting on same-sex attraction, same-sex ideation, or gender dysphoria. It's a means of trying to deal with pain. I had a professor from UCLA Medical School when I was in my grad program at Liberty, and we spent two semesters talking about the pain, the abuse, the molestation that contributes to same-sex attraction and gender confusion. So any of the people that are dealing with this understand that homosexuality is a means of trying to deal with pain and wounding. And then, and as recently as this week, you know, I was on the road in Montana and we met several activist level proponents of the gay agenda. There's a certain defiance, a certain rebellion. You know, I'm the wrong gender in the wrong body. I'm going to fight God over this. Understand, folks, that there are wounded people and they're trying to process their pain. They're angry people. And what better authority figure to square off against than Almighty God, our Creator? The answer, well, as C.S. Lewis said, that sinful man is not a slightly imperfect creature that needs a bit of improvement or some New Year's resolutions, said Lewis. Fallen man is a rebel that must lay down his arms. And what we need to do is pray. You know, in Mark chapter 9, I believe it's in verse 29, Jesus said, some things are only accomplished by prayer and fasting. And I really believe that the homosexual worldview is so entrenched in the psyche of many people that the born-again believers that we accept God's word. We accept what modern psychology and science and human physiology say about males and females. We need to fast and pray. I truly believe the LGBTQ trans worldview is demonic. I think there are many people that are ensnared in this and don't know it. Perhaps some are actively in it and do know it, but we, the church, that we believe in Christ the Savior, we believe in God's sovereign authority over the human race, and we believe that God's design for male, female, heterosexual monogamy is the blueprint for human thriving. We need to share the gospel and pray, but we need to fast and pray because the battle is not ideological only. The battle is spiritual.
You know, it's interesting when you mentioned the conversations you had with Charlie Kirk. And by the way, we have about a minute left in this conversation, that Charlie was surprised that you would support Israel in the sense that Charlie, you know, recognizes that a lot of the people in Israel are secular people. And yet Charlie Kirk himself recognized certainly the right of Jewish people, you know, to their own self-existence, you know, in other words, defense and so forth. But it is sad to see this particular event, Pride Land, where, you know, the organizer said, we chose to grow, to take an investment of millions, purchase entire hotels for 4 days, build a city from scratch in the middle of the desert. It's an experience that lives 24/7 from quiet visits to nights of pride with a living envelope of music and people. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. By the time this airs, this event will have already taken place. Any closing thoughts you've got for about 20 seconds, Alex McFarland?
Sure. Well, I mean, you can almost hear the realization of the gay activist. Oh, my goodness. Hey, let's do an event right as close as we can be to Sodom and Gomorrah. How cool is that? But I think they should temper their glee with humility and repentance before God. God loves all people, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. He invites us to forgiveness and restoration through his son, Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's a perfect way to end this. AlexMcFarland.com. Thank you, Alex. All the best.
Thank you, Dr. Newcomb.